Thanks for tuning in for this podcast of Faith in Action presented by Catholic Radio Indy. If this programming is of value to you, please consider making a financial donation to support our efforts in producing these offerings. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org. And now, here's Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you in this new year.
And you know, Bridget, this is the time when everybody talks about New Year's resolutions. And I say talks about because a lot of them, with me, that's as far as they get. You talk about them in January and pretty much forget about them the rest of the year.
True.
But I've got a list of New Year's resolutions, kind of challenges for all of our listeners. One, if you got an old car around the house, you know, sitting out in the driveway and people are getting tired looking at it, you could donate it to Catholic Radio. So if you have one of those, make that a New Year's resolution. And the sooner rather than later, it's real easy to do. Just get on our website. Click on the link there. And while you're on our website, there's two other New Year's resolutions that you could fulfill real easily. One, most everybody does grocery shopping every week. If you're a regular Kroger shopper, you probably have a Kroger card. And if you go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and click on the Kroger logo, they'll ask you what charity you want to support. If you put in Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, that's all there is to it. Then every time you shop at Kroger forever, Catholic Radio gets a tiny percentage of what you buy. And you don't have to tell the checkout person. You don't have to do anything. You just have to shop. And a similar thing with Amazon Smile. If you go to Amazon Smile or start with the Amazon Smile logo on our website, either one, they'll ask you what charity you'd like to support. And again, it's Catholic Radio Indy. I-N-D-Y, Catholic Radio Indy. And if you do that one time at Amazon Smile, every time you buy anything on Amazon forever, Catholic Radio gets a portion, a little tiny portion of your whatever you purchase. But together, it does all add up. And we got a lot of listeners. So if everybody does just a little thing like that, it makes a big difference. So there's your list of New Year's resolution challenges. That wasn't easy to say, you know.
Well, you know, when you talk about forever, I think about in heaven and, you know, and we're still going to be getting donations when people are in heaven with their Kroger card or their Amazon Smile.
Well, I guess if you can use a Kroger card in heaven, and I'm not sure why you'd want to do that, but suspect you could, yes.
Well, every time you say forever, I keep thinking about forever and ever, hallelujah. Okay, hey, we're going to do music here. Okay, well, we are actually going to be talking about a very serious topic today. We're going to be talking about human trafficking. We're going to be doing that because January is recognized as Human Trafficking Month. And so in honor of that, we're going to be talking with my guest today. Her name is Kelly Leeper. She is the Director of Communications for a human trafficking recovery ministry called Ascent 121. So welcome to Faith in Action, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Ascent 121, what's unique about that name?
So it's based on the Psalm of Ascent, Psalm 121, which talks about that our faith and our strength comes from God, not from the mountains, but He created us and heaven and God, and that's what we're about. So our ministry is about serving Him, and so that's why the name is important.
Wow, we could all go, that's a good New Year's resolution right there. Absolutely. Just going right to the Lord right there. Mm-hmm. So tell me about who you serve and what you do at Ascent 121.
Okay, so we're a faith-based social service agency that provides long-term trauma care for teen survivors of sex trafficking in Indiana.
And human trafficking is such a big, I guess, industry, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it. Do you know much about, okay, so could you tell us a little bit about human trafficking, kind of maybe the umbrella of it, like, because there's labor trafficking and then there's sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. So can you talk maybe about the overall problem?
Sure. So I can't really speak to labor trafficking.
Okay.
Our agency focuses on sex trafficking.
Okay.
With the teen survivors.
Well, give us an overview of that.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what sex trafficking really is. It's really the exploitation of vulnerabilities in young people.
Okay.
And that's what we see. And we typically serve kids who are 12 to 17. Kids generally get sucked into this and manipulated and coerced into this around the ages of 12 to 14 is generally the average, and they're young and they're very manipulative, right? They're not quite to the point where their brains are fully developed, and when you're at that age, you have a lot of things going on.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of vulnerabilities. And
sure.
So in that situation, these traffickers are very savvy and very manipulative, and they look to exploit those vulnerabilities in these teens. And what's really surprising, what a lot of people are very, very surprised about, is that this is not a situation like that movie Taken, right? Where
mm-hmm.
a lot of people view sex trafficking as you have young people getting basically abducted and taken to a foreign country. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen,
mm-hmm.
but in our world, we only see that being about 5% of the cases. What is generally happening is that the trafficker is somebody they trust and they love. It's usually a family member, or it's a boyfriend or a love interest
who is
taken advantage of these young people.
So is this, now this is happening in the United States here in Indiana. So, mm-hmm. so these, so we're not talking about foreign government or foreign, you know, people going across, you know, country lines.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about family member, boyfriend mm-hmm. here in Indiana.
Yes.
That is taking advantage of somebody they know.
Yep.
And then getting them into sex trafficking.
You got
okay.
it.
Okay. If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Kelly Leeper. She is the director of communications and development for an organization called Ascent 121. And so how did you get into this? Let's talk about you a little bit.
Sure.
And how you got into this and what specifically your role is.
So I've had a couple of different careers. I was in consulting in the healthcare industry, stayed home for a while raising my three kids. And when I decided to go back to work, I wanted to do something that felt more purposeful and felt more fulfilling. And so I ended up going in the nonprofit world. I've worked for a variety of nonprofits, and this has been a God thing for me. Megan McGuire, who is the CEO of our organization, she and I serve on a board together and have become friends. And when she told me she was looking for somebody, I said, I hope you're okay with this, but I'd like to apply. And she's like, really? So, it was definitely a God thing, and I feel very, very fortunate to be here.
That's awesome, because I've talked to Megan before, and it was a God thing how she got involved in too. So you know how God works; you just never know what he's gonna do, right?
Yeah, we're both ex-business people that got called to do this.
Yeah,
work.
And you bring all that experience into ministry. So are there certain areas where human trafficking is more prevalent, like? I've heard Indiana's got a pretty high incidence of it. And,
mm-hmm.
and is that true? And why is that the case, if it is?
So basically trafficking happens wherever there's the internet. As far as the internet can reach, that's where it happens, because generally kids are recruited. That's one of the major ways that they're recruited, is through the internet. It's very underreported, so we don't have really good statistics yet. We're just starting to track those really well based on a couple different organizations. But where we have mainly seen this in Indiana is the Fort Wayne area, Evansville area, and of course Indianapolis. But it happens everywhere. It's not just relegated to the cities or the suburbs or the rural areas. It happens everywhere.
So are there specific sites that that in terms of the recruitment, not the terms of, you know, advertising for, you know, I guess the sex industry,
mm-hmm.
But for recruiting, do you know, I mean, this is happening on like Instagram or any of the social media platforms, or what do you know about that?
So
in terms of parents being aware of what mm-hmm. their kids are on mm-hmm. and how they need to warn them or protect them?
Yeah, this, I mean, it really happens everywhere.
Okay.
And there's, like, Backpage was an example of an app that was used, or a website that was used significantly, and the government shut it down, which
was
great.
Thinking, I wasn't sure if that was still going, but it's been shut down,
right? It was shut down, I believe, in April of this year, which was great in one instance, because it's one less place for these kids to get manipulated and trafficked into the and asked into the life and groomed into the life. The problem is once you get rid of one of them, they pop up other places. Right.
So probably anywhere that people can communicate would be a potential place. I mean, online. So it could be Snapchat, could be Instagram.
Well, and they pose as, you know,
their friend. They know them.
A friend
they know
of
them.
A friend. And that's why, as a parent, I know that I'm really cognizant working and talking with my kids about the fact that you don't ever talk to anybody you don't know online. Even if it's a friend of a friend, if you don't know them, you shouldn't really be talking to them, because there are teenage recruiters also, right? So there is a situation where the trafficker will say, I won't make you do this if you find your friends or family members or whatever else to do it for you.
Interesting. So,
are there certain things that parents should watch for? I mean, if the child talks about, gee, I was on Snapchat or wherever it was the other day, and gee, this and that happened, are there certain clues or certain hints that something's not right?
Well, you know, and this is really hard to say, right? Because the traffickers are very savvy about how they do things. But if all of a sudden your child has new things that you know you didn't buy them, right? That's a big sign. If they're starting to talk about older kids that they've started hanging out with or talking with online or talking with at school, that can be an indication. If you see anything out of the ordinary where your kid just doesn't seem to be acting the same as they normally do, it's probably a sign that you really need to be paying attention. Not that this is, I mean, I don't want to scare people, but you just need to be engaged parents.
Right. And I'm just curious, is there, since we're talking about it, if someone does see that something, is there like a hotline they can call?
There is.
Can you give that hotline?
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead and give it.
I wrote
it
down because I don't have it memorized.
I know. I don't either. I didn't even write it down. What is the hotline number?
The National Trafficking Hotline. The number is 888-373-7888.
So if you see something, say something.
Yes.
Call there.
Yes. Don't get involved yourself.
Why is that?
Well, because you might actually be endangering the young person.
Or yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Like, you know, if by chance something were to happen and the trafficker is nearby, guess what? That kid is going to be the one who gets in trouble for it. So you don't ever want to act on this on your own. If something doesn't feel right, it may not be. And so the best bet is to call the National Trafficking Hotline, or just to call Indianapolis Police, or, you know, wherever your police station is. And they can investigate it.
And
further,
you can call 911 too, right?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about how to recognize if someone's being trafficked. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Archbishop Charles Thompson of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. There are thousands of cities all over this country, but by far the majority of them are not served by a Catholic radio station. In this area, we are fortunate to have three stations. They are a great way for each of us to learn more about our faith and for non-Catholics to discover the beauty of our Catholic Church. Please pray for this station, and if you can, please support it financially.
I'm Steve Alec of USA Football and parishioner at St. Maria Goretti Parish in Westfield. And I am blessed with a 35-minute commute to and from work every day. And I can't start my day unless it goes to 90.9 or dialing up the Catholic Radio Indy phone number on my cell phone and making that drive on 465. It is the spiritual vitamin that I need to get my mind focused on Christ, which impacts my entire life as a disciple of Jesus, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a co-worker. I can't say enough of what Catholic Radio has done for me, and the small but mighty team at Catholic Radio Indy is a group that I'm very grateful for. Thanks for all you do, and the whole team at Catholic Radio Indy. Appreciate all that you do.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we're talking with Kelly Leeper. She is the Director of Communications and Development for the Human Trafficking Recovery Ministry called Ascent 121. So, Kelly, what when someone has been trafficked, sex trafficked is what we're talking about, and they come to Ascent 121 for help, how do they find you, and what kind of help do you offer them in terms of recovery?
Sure.
Give me the process.
Sure. So I would say 95% of the time, this is a situation where law enforcement has posed as a buyer. And when they get to the location, this is typically homes or hotels. When they get to the location, they know that this is a minor. And then they get routed through DCS. And that's when our clinical team then gets involved and does a psych assessment and decides whether or not what's the best avenue to take at that point. Should this be a child that is put into a residential situation? We partner with Lutherwood, which is a great partner that we have residential services, and we have our clinical staff push into there to provide services. Or is it a situation where home is safe? The trafficker isn't, you know, a parent or family member, and home is safe. And so we find that that's really the best situation. We'd like to have them try to continue to be as normal in their routine as possible. So we'll push into the homes or the foster home or wherever the child might be living, as long as it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about sex trafficking, you hear of cases that make the news where someone has disappeared and no one knows where they are, and that's one of the assumptions that maybe they become involved in that, but it isn't always that way. I mean, the person doesn't always vanish from the face of the earth, do they?
No. I mean, again, you know, usually this is a situation where the two traffickers, the two main categories of traffickers, are a family member or a love interest / boyfriend, right? So these are situations where they've been groomed into this life, and there's trauma bonding that's associated with it. So oftentimes when a kid is referred to us, they don't even believe themselves to have been trafficked. They have been brainwashed. Their reality isn't what our reality would be. And because of this trauma bonding, they don't even oftentimes realize what has truly happened here.
So they might still be living at home, might still be going to school every day?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
While they're being trafficked.
Yes.
And okay, so now you opened that door, Jim. So I'm gonna go through it in terms of how do you know if someone's being trafficked? Like if they're going to school, they're in high school, I guess, you know?
Well, there's a variety of situations, right?
Okay,
and
okay.
So generally, I mean, it's, again, very hard to sometimes notice what the signs are.
Okay.
Generally, it could be, you know, there's a history of running away from home with some of these kids. They talk about an older boyfriend. They maybe lie about their age. Maybe they don't have an ID. They may, when they're around other adults, have scripted language or very vague language, and they won't be answering questions themselves. The trafficker will be answering for them because they're very controlled. It could be a situation where there's a tattoo of a trafficker's name in a hidden spot. Sometimes we've seen it behind the neck or other places, a barcode you might see, 'cause they label them. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's signs of psychological trauma. So if there's anything that just seems out of the ordinary from if you've known this person previously,
mm-hmm.
that's an indication. They might be carrying hotel keys. Normally, mm-hmm. a teenager wouldn't be carrying around hotel keys. If there's frequent visits for sexually transmitted diseases, that would be a sign, right? Or if they seem disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that seems abnormal based on what you already know about them, but some of those things, I mean, some of that, you know, a lot of times you're not going to know these things.
So
you don't know the person. So,
what happens when they come to you? So they, mm-hmm. so you can have push in service. So let's say they stay living at home,
mm-hmm.
and they have kind of as normal life as they can, as they've gotten out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you push in what, like psychological services, or what? What do you guys offer?
So we have a continuum of services.
Okay, talk about those.
So there's the initial psych evaluation, right? Then depending on, a lot of times there is a situation where there's multiple things going on with these kids, right? Mm-hmm. We've even had some kids say to us that this isn't the worst thing that's happened to me, right? There could be substance abuse going on. There could be other kind of abuse going on at home. We offer a continuum of service depending on each kid's unique situation, and they are matched with a clinician that follows them. Oftentimes, there will be kids that will go back to this life a few times because of that whole trauma bonding thing, and they will go back and forth before they actually officially leave this life.
So Ascent 121, do you also have like a place where they can live too? Is that like another thing?
So we have that residential facility that we partner with Lutherwood.
Okay.
And that's kind of, you know, a lockdown facility because those are kids that we're either worried they're a flight risk, they're going to maybe injure themselves, or they're going to go back to the trafficker, or the home isn't safe. And so that's where those kids go if we're concerned about those sorts of things.
And then what about the faith dimension in terms of how you help them mm-hmm. meet God if they don't know, mm-hmm. and how, what, talk about the integral role of the faith aspect.
Sure. So God is why we do what we do. It's not how we do what we do. So I know, based on with my kids, if I force them to do anything, you're going to get pushback, right? So this is a yep. situation where there's plenty of options for them to be part of Bible study and things like that. We're always willing to pray with them if that's what they need. But this is a self-determination situation. We have baptized kids that have wanted to be baptized. That's always an option for them. But this is not something that we're forcing on them.
Right. And obviously they have other things that they're trying to work through. But it's there. It's available. It's, you know, little whispers and reminders of, you know, God's here. We're here. We're ready to pray. Here's a Bible study. Places that they can plug in if they want to.
Absolutely.
So
how large an organization are you associated with? How many people are involved in it?
Yeah. So we have been in business for 5 years. And we've quadrupled. So that tells you what the need is. We currently are serving over 100 kids, but we are restricted based on, you know, how much money we're able to raise. About half of our budget is covered through billable services through the state, but we have to raise money for the other half.
And so if you miss the year-end giving campaign, there's still opportunities to give throughout the year. If someone wanted to give, how would they do that?
Sure. So the best way is to go to our website, and okay. you can make a one-time donation, or you can become a monthly donor, which we call an Ascent 121 Ambassador. And that is really our big push. That was our big push for the end of the year campaign, and that's what's really helpful for us is those monthly donations.
So if you could give your webpage for people who might want to donate.
Sure, it's www.ascent121.org.
Now, what about volunteers? Do you utilize volunteers, or is there a specific training that you need to be a volunteer?
Sure. So because these kids are minors, due to HIPAA and what's best for the kids, we don't allow volunteers to work directly.
Well, that makes sense.
Kids.
Okay, so then what mm-hmm. are there other volunteer there, opportunities?
There are. So if you went to our website, there's a ton of them, but we love for volunteers to get involved. Either we do over 100 speaking engagements a year, and we are a very small staff. So we are currently trying to develop our presentation volunteer group. So that's something that is a big need. There's also things that the kids always need. There's opportunities on the website to create different art kits and things like that, and fun things that we can do with the kids who are in the residential program. And we always need office help and with projects like that and doing mailings and things of that nature. So there's plenty of options of things to do.
So there's the fluff and fold we used to always say in the office, fluff and fold, the mailings. And then I could see like even a girls club group or a boy group putting together like those art kits as a service project, you know.
Absolutely.
Or the high schools, you know, they could do something like that. And mm-hmm. then there was another, what was the other one? The art kit and the fluff and fold, and what was the other one?
I think there's a baby kit, a birthday kit.
Yeah, and the speaker and the speakers, like the speakers bureau, that to help volunteer speakers go around. Okay.
And we love to, if there's volunteer groups that would like to write words of encouragement and letters for the kids, that's a great opportunity. And for the staff too, because the staff goes through a lot.
I can imagine.
And working with these kids, yes.
So what kind of a response are you having in terms of those that you serve?
Yeah, so this is a hard thing. Like I had said, they go back and forth oftentimes in therapy, right? And so how we view success is we have 70 to 80% of our kids report that there's an increase in their needs being met. There's an increase in positive social support, either from the family and the community, improved well-being, their life skills are improving, their physical and mental health is improving. There's a decrease in substance abuse. 100% of these kids have some kind of substance abuse. There's increase in self-sufficiency, increased hope and belief in themselves, and their ability to make decisions for themselves.
That's all great. So what can people do in terms of learning how to combat this problem or like resources or anything? Mm-hmm. If they want to learn more, get involved, what can they do?
Sure. So on our website, we have some great resources that people can look at, a variety of books and movies and documentaries about this. We also offer a great opportunity called the Prayer Journey, which is the second Saturday of every month, and you can register for that on our website. It's a free situation where you just can go either by yourself or you can invite some friends. And it's a vignette of us, multiple stories that we kind of create into one. And what ends up happening is we have kind of initial session of some general information about Ascent 121. And then we send people out in cars in groups, and they pray at various locations of this story of what we would typically see in one of these kids. And then they come back and we do a debrief with them. Some people, they have a really tough time and they need to kind of talk about it, right? Because it is really a hard subject to talk about.
So for more information, if you could go ahead and give that website one more time.
Sure, it's www.ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, 121.org.
And we've got about 30 seconds left. What's this been like for you personally? I know you've been there for about 6 months or so working.
Three months, sorry.
What's it been like for you just in this short time?
Oh, it's been very fulfilling and very rewarding. It's very hard work, but God is at work at Ascent 121, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, Kelly Leeper, you've been a blessing to be here. You're the Director of Communications at Ascent 121. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be praying for your ministry.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.